God. So God says he made a mistake. Now, I maintain that you said you didn't sin. But you say you didn't sin. You're not really, the reason why you're able to say this is because you're doing away with the fear of God. See, if you would really have the proper esteem for God, you'd make a proper search. And then you'd find out that you really did sin. But right now, you're not really making the right search. Because the reason why you're not making the right search is because you lack the proper esteem for God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was his argument.
Well,
I don't know. Insofar as the other argument that he says, that in this situation he can't perfect himself anymore. That, he says, he allowed himself to fall apart. He shouldn't allow himself to fall apart under this situation. Right? So theoretically, he can't prove either way. Because he has a good argument. You don't have the right fear of God. You're not searching the right framework, number one. Secondly, you're allowing yourself to fall apart and you say you can't do it. This is all your own weakness. He says, what knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us? He's telling him one thing. He's telling him that he cannot consider his experience to be a source of knowledge more than they have. Because experiential is not really knowledge. In other words, he's telling him that he's suffering. So therefore he's saying that I know. One of his arguments was, if you would know how I'm suffering, he told him, you know, then you would see that this is your argument is wrong. And he said, look, he says, knowledge of how a person is suffering, the experience itself of the suffering doesn't add to the knowledge. So any knowledge that you have about the suffering, you can convey to us and we can see it. Right? And we're judging based upon, see, they're trying to convince him. We're judging based upon the facts that you've given us. We don't have to make an experiment. You made the experiment. My God. And now, you convey the information to us, and we can see it just as good as you can. On the contrary, we could be objective in the area. Your emotions, you're in an emotional situation, you're getting carried away with your emotions. So you really can't be an objective observer. Now you want to understand the ideas. That's what you say you want to understand. You don't care about suffering. Okay, so now we can tell you what the ideas are. That's why they ask him, are you the first man that's born? Do you know about, do you restrain, and he says, does thou hearken in the counsel of God? And does thou restrain wisdom to thyself? Do you have any extra knowledge, any extra wisdom that we don't have? The experience, I mean, isn't wisdom. So that we know us, that we know too. So now we're telling you, according to what you tell us, we're listening to what you say, the experiment, the whole thing, and we still say that there's no, you have no disproof of God. God is just. This is the way he is, and you just don't want to, you stubbornly don't want to surrender to God. That's his argument. That's Eliphaz's argument. Okay?
Isn't there another one?
Yeah, what he's saying is like this. The second argument from 14 on is this Eliphaz's argument. That, remember we said in the beginning, he said there are two types of crimes. There's a sin which a person does, an overt sin. An overt sin, a person deserves death. That's it. That they wouldn't even bother with the Yiv, because then there's nothing he can do. He's finished. They said, we know you don't have that type of a sin. But there's another type of sin that man has. Because of his nature, he's created in a way that he's very susceptible to sin. Now, that second type of sin, what he has to do is he has to search it out. That's the purpose of his life, to search out the corruption, the hidden corruption that he has. And this is what they tell, this is what they're saying, and this is what you're supposed to do right now, and you're not doing it. And that's why you're suffering. That's Eliphaz's argument. Okay? You see it? See, what the Sefer does at this point is it shows you how each argument cannot just be put down so easily. Shows you that each argument cannot be put down so easily. Eve, on the one hand, maintains experience, the other guy, but they're like, you can't logically refute any one of the arguments. Okay? Now let's see what happens with, let's see what happens, what's the rest of this? The rest of this parak is more difficult. Let's see. He mentions over here, and that's 26. He says, 27, he covers his face with his fatness. It means that he can't really, wealth and all the physical things covers it. He feels that this is a protection. He covers, this is what he uses for his protection. So with this, he goes against God. But he won't make it. He won't be successful against God. Eventually he's going to be destroyed. Okay? Same thing. It means the evil, the wicked person, is turbulent like the sea. That's what it means. The wicked man's life is turbulence. Okay? One thing in his description is this, that the downfall of the Russia, see, the Russia's life is such that, in other words, like this, sometimes if a person does something So the more he does it, the more he, the more the phenomena become realized. They become realized at a ratio, a proportion. A person puts his foot in the water, he gets a little bit wet. He goes into water more, he gets more wet as he goes along, you see? But sometimes it's not true. The life of the rush is not so. The rush has a rise. The rush has a rise. But his downfall is a sudden one. You see? It's not that every step of rishis will reap unhappiness. See? The rush, in the beginning, he can keep on going. He keeps on going. But he has to reach a point which is going to be his, which is going to break him. You see? He has to reach a point which is going to break him. Why is that so? Why is that so, really? This is like Hitler, Yimach Shamayim. See, in the beginning, he's very successful. Successful guy. But then he reached one point, boom, started to go against him till the time of total desolation, till he saw that was the end. Suicide, that's it. Why? The rise in the beginning is very big. Why? What's the reason? The reason is because in the beginning, the reason why he's successful is because the Russia, we're talking about a calculated Russia, is one that could put, he's after one thing. And he gets rid of all the side things that are in the way, you see? Now that, then he's in that stage, he's very successful. He's building up, right? But the one thing that the center core that is motivating him, that itself is a, he doesn't see it, but that itself is a something which can't last. Now the moment everything is subdued for that central thing, and that central thing gains prominence, that's when the break has to come. You know what I mean? Like let's say by, take an example of Hitler, Yimach Shamayim. What was his thing? His thing was the ego, see? So his thing was the Superman, right? Now, so at first, he puts everything, he tries to get everything, every other emotion out of the way. He doesn't want to have any Rachmanis, doesn't want to have this, because all these things will interfere with his plan. But the one emotion that he has, this idea of being a Superman, is completely out of reality. So therefore, when he comes to a situation where he's supposed to retreat, he can't. Because that's the breakdown of that emotion. Then that emotion gets in conflict, and that's when the total break comes. You see, he can make. In other words, he makes climbs. In the beginning, he'll start climbing, because in the beginning, he's just after this. He wants to. He's trying to put everything down so that this will put everything in, arrange everything in a way so that this central thing will gain prominence. But the only thing is that once that central thing comes to the fore, then he has to have the downfall. So that's what he says. And once he has downfall, he's finished. There's no way out of it anymore. Because that's his whole essence. His whole essence is that one thing. Once that one thing comes against reality, then he's going to fall. Or the moment he manipulates the world in a way that everything is under the sway of this one thing, then he has to break. Then he has to fall. That's right. The retreating in this case over here, the retreating could not have taken place earlier. Because earlier he wouldn't visualize it as a retreat. He visualized as a necessary step in order to be in a situation where the full power is going to be there. But once he gets there, now there's no more answers. Now you have to stand up against reality. Then he has the downfall. See? That's the way it works. So it doesn't work. It's not the build-up is very big, and then boom, down he goes. A mediocre man it can't happen to, because a mediocre man never really has any one thing. He's not organized. So he retreats away, he moves, he goes. There's no real plan. But the rush is a person that is, in other words, if a person doesn't have any real plan, so then he's not going to be defeated. There's no plan there. But a rush is a man who really is he's putting everything into one. Yeah, his thrust is going into one thing. Now, once he gets that one thing, now it's a question whether it's going to stand or not. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. Let's say, for instance, there's going to be a tremendous tidal wave, right? So a person will try to. A person's going to make up his mind that he's going to build a building that's going to withstand the tidal wave. Now let's say in reality we know such things are impossible. We can't have such a building. So in the beginning, of course, he gains because the guy he puts all his efforts into this building, and a storm comes and it withstands the storm. You know, the other guy's house goes down, so he's gaining. It looks like he's really gaining.
Never
you see, and he puts more into it. He puts everything into this thing. But then the tidal wave comes and boom, he's at it. See? The other guy, meantime, the storm broke him down, so he had to move away. So he went, he's living in the mountain. You know what I mean? This guy put everything into this. Now he's finished. See? That's why the desolation is so great. Because the average man can't put everything into a false thing. He doesn't have the strength. The average man is not like the Russia. The Russia really is a powerful man. That's why a Russia has to have a certain greatness of a soul also. So Russia can't be a Russia. An average guy isn't, can't do any big rishas. It's nothing. They're little things. He putters around over here. So, but it will remain. This guy, a little putterer, will remain. Because but the Russia puts everything into this into this venture. Now, since this venture can never be successful, the moment he establishes this entity, he has to go down. There's only one way: total downfall. That's what Eliphaz says. Okay. Russia is the country of the Tzaddik because he puts all his energy into something. So he has total control, puts all his energy into something. But that which he puts all his energy in is evil. And that's why it has to be a total failure. Whereas the Tzaddik puts all his energy into something which is good. It has to be a total success. And there are people that don't do anything, more or less. They hang around like, you know?
The average guy.
And the average guy, ask me who is worse, the average guy is better off than the Russia. Because the Russia really, even all these qualities that he has, are destined to failure. The average guy didn't make any venture. He's okay, he'll survive. You see? I'll survive, right. Of course, but the tzaddik is a qualitatively differentiated being. Tzaddik is the one who has all the energies involved in the good. He's the man who has to be successful. That's the picture within the... They always look at the previous Russian and say, the guy wasn't, I will be more organized than him. And that's why... So they fail to see one thing. They fail to look and see that there's an inherent, built into this thing is an inherent failure. That's what they fail to see. But they can't see that because their emotions prevent them. That's what he says. He says, why does the Russia fail? The Russia fails for one reason. Because he can't recognize that. You see what he says over here? He says, because he has stretched out his hand against God and behaves himself proudly against the Almighty. That's 25. That he runneth up with him, runneth upon him with a stiff neck. See, what causes the Russia? Why can't the Russia see the truth? What prevents him? Why does the next Russia say, I'm going to succeed? Because he has the fat on his face and this stiff neck. The emotions won't allow him to see the truth, that there's imminent destruction in his ways. You know what I mean? Now he told Leah, he says, you're doing the exact same thing. That's exactly what, the same thing as the Russia does, that's what you're doing. You just are preventing yourself from any possibility. You just refuse, emotionally, you're refusing to look at the truth. You're refusing to accede to God. He says, that's the exact same thing as the Russia. That's what you are doing, and that's why you're doomed. That's what they told him. See, the second round, they were a little more tough on him. The first round was more philosophical arguments. Second one, they were getting a little more personal. Yeah. The first argument of Eliphaz, he presents the theory in abstract, and now he presents the direct application. That's it. Okay? He says like this. First, he says the same argument. He says that you don't know. You think that you have that I gave you the facts, but you don't know the facts. You have to experience these facts in order to know them. It's something that I can't. It's something that I cannot convey to you. I can't tell you I'm suffering. You don't know what the suffering is. I know what it is, and I'm telling you in my position. This is your answers are ridiculous.
Same as come back before.
Yeah, same as before. Then he goes on like this. One second. Now he says what? And he criticizes them a little bit. For not strengthening him, for not making him feel better, that he does. Then he says, like this, then he says, he talks about God, he talks about how he's terrified, his physical problems, how terrified he is, and then he says, my adversary sharpens his eyes against me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek scornfully. They gather themselves together against me. God delivereth me to the ungodly and casteth me into the hands of the wicked. He says, there he says, he speaks about the people. A just person has to have enemies. A person who is good, a person who is just must have enemies. Because by nature, people who are unjust are not going to be happy to hear his just words. You see? So they will naturally be his enemies. And of course, they will rejoice when the man has a downfall. See, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the pain, the psychological pain of having others mock him. You see?
He's talking about
the people in the city, because he was a big man in the city. He was an advisor, was a counselor, was a just man. Now naturally he had a lot of enemies, because anybody that's just has to have enemies. See? So now his enemies, he's talking about the pain, the psychological pain he endures by the fact that they laugh at him and that they and they're able to enjoy his downfall. Go ahead. It seemed like he's saying, almost openly, that the only possibility in his situation is that God should admit that there's some imperfection in his essence.
In God's essence?
Yeah, in God's essence. What are you saying?
I think that.
Truth matters, Eve said before. That if you hold away, you've got to be honest. That's what he holds. He holds that there is that you have to say. There's only one possibility. There's some imperfection in God himself. That's the only answer, is that God should admit that he has that imperfection. That's it. The question was asked, why didn't Eve do this before? He saw other people in the world, good people, suffering. The answer is Eve couldn't do it before. That's what he says to them. He says, I couldn't do it before because how do I know who's a Russia or not? I don't know a guy's heart. Do I know what's in a guy? But here I'm telling you, I know that I am a tzaddik. And I see that there's an injustice here. The only way... What? And you have to know the suffering. You have to know the person. You have to know the suffering. Eve says, I could never make this judgment before because I never really knew anybody. You know what I mean? But now I see. Now I can see. Now I know. I have all the facts in front of me. That's why Eve came about, because he had all the facts.
Wasn't suffering before?
Only because he had the facts. Otherwise, he sees suffering before. He doesn't know what the facts are. Say, Chazal say, dust should have filled the mouth of Eve. I mean, a lot of things that he said, Chazal say, were a sin. That's what he said. The argument of an imperfection of God means you have to leave Achdus Hashem. Because you'd have to say that there is something that he's basically just, but then there's something else which opposes his justice and prevents him from accomplishing his full justice. Oneness. He's arguing against the philosophy of the philosophy that he always lived with, which was a philosophy which you're just, you do mitzvahs and you get the good, and if you do evil you get punished. And if you're going to say he doesn't know anything, so if he doesn't know, so then forget about everything. So what's the purpose of doing tzedakah, doing chesed? There's no purpose in it anymore. It's all nonsense. Right? That's what he's saying. He's right. Eve's argument now is being... He's right. Eve's argument also is being brought a little further. A little further down. When he says imperfection in God. He's bringing it down a little further down the line. More to its logical conclusion. In Yud Zion, he says two things, basically. He says like this. He says, first of all, that they don't have any chachma. Right? They're afraid to join hands with him. See? He asks God that he should give him somebody else to argue with him against God. He says because their heart, you hid their hearts from wisdom. He says, they're afraid to be with me. Right.
Right.
He says in Pasuk Ches, he says, Pasuk Ches, Yeshomu Yeshom Azos V'Noki Al Chonef Yisorar. Let there be a pure man. A pure man will be strong. So the person shouldn't be afraid in this situation to be pure and be upright and to argue with me against God. See? He says, but you guys, he says, you can go and come and go and I will still not find the Chacham among you. then he speaks about the last part from Yud Aleph on. He speaks about the fact that there is no possible hope for him anymore in life. You see? Yamai Avru, my days are gone. The translation is very bitter. Yamai Avru Zimaisai Nitku, all my purposes, my Zimaisai means what he intends, my intentions are completely destroyed. Marashe Levavi, Laila Leyom Yosimu, and Orga, he says, Ima Kava Show, basically, what am I going to hope for? I'm going to hope you're going to tell me I have something to look forward to. I guess he's arguing here against the theory of compensation. There's no possible compensation. I'm going to look for what? For a nice house in the grave? He says, the grave, he says, I'm going to call my father and the worms I'll call my brother and sister. It means that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to be, that's my whole future. He says, and where's my hope? Who's going to show me my hope? See? All right. He says that not everything in Eve is a new argument. Ram says that. He says, because part of the Sefer is the dialogue that he has with his friend. He's trying to convince his friend. See, before also they try to convince him with one part of the argument. I forgot what it was. Was it? Yeah. Like where they bring, where they talk about how the Russia will be destroyed. The vivid descriptions of the destruction of the Russia was an attempt to scare him back and to convince him that he shouldn't do this. See, over here he's trying to convince them back. Part of the Sefer is the actual situation in which he reacts in a way that he's trying to convince them that he's right. Okay. That's what the Ram says. Not every point over here is a new idea. Ram says tomorrow. Okay. Says all his taivas. In other words, he can't even enjoy you thinking about any taiva because he's in total pain. He thinks about this and he has to... There's just a description of the situation. That's it. Okay, consider, and afterwards we will speak. They're telling him that he's answering emotionally. Wherefore we counted as beasts and reputed dull in your sight. Why do you consider us foolish? That you tear away yourself in your anger. He says all your emotions. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? Or shall the rock be removed out of its place? In other words, they're saying there's a self-centeredness. You're looking at it from your own emotions, and therefore you want to change the whole world. But the truth of the matter is you should collect yourself and... Yeah, see, that's what they're saying to. Okay, go ahead.
You the way that?
Bildad is different than Eliphaz. Eliphaz says that God is... God gives out the justice and meets out the justice directly. He says that it's compensation. That's what all things kind of...
Plus the reward.
Gonna,
yeah. About
that's right. That the compensation that the wicked is going to be punished. Now, what is the purpose of this whole thing? That's what I'm trying to figure out. What is, why is it talking about the wicked? What's it got to do with the wicked? Nothing to do with it, right? The common denominator among the three was that they all accepted one basic premise. And they always refer to the days of old and the fathers and the elderly. You know? The premise was that God is just. So we don't know exactly what the possibility... Each one gave a different possibility. But they all stuck to this one underlying premise. See, what the exact theory of how God works is, that wasn't that important. That they were attempting to propose different possibilities, you know? But the basic thing they held, the basic idea, that God is just and that the corruption is within you, you see? But what is the purpose of this whole monologue about the wicked? That's what I want to know. What's the purpose? It's not talking to the point anymore. Like you say, it's not arguing philosophically. I think... The purpose was, for one reason, again, like I mentioned before, to convince Eve to return before it's too late.
He must return again?
Yeah, that was the purpose, to convince him. That's what I think it is. That's what I think the pshat is. Now, take a look at the way Eve answers, and I think from the way Eve answers, we'll find some support to what we're saying.
Well, there's just
Read
dialogue.
19.
There's just dialogue.
Yeah. They're trying to tell him how bad it is to be a Russian, therefore he should repent. Now read your test. You'll see, I think that's what he says in the beginning. Listen carefully. It sounds like two arguments. First he says that his own feet caused him an eight, right? And then later it says a noose is hit for him in the ground, which means that it's not his own feet. It could be held that what he held was like this, that the theory of compensation, we said, operates in two ways. We said the idea of compensation is that, generally speaking, it's created that the Russia really is his own downfall. That he didn't deny. But he says that whenever things go awry and the Russia is successful, then the noose will, God intervenes and he rights the wrong situation. That was Bildad's argument. That's why you have the two things over here. First he said like this, for he's cast into a net by his own feet, that's under normal circumstances, the Russia's, the action of the Russia will lead to his own destruction. That's like mentioned by Hitler in Machshavah. But it doesn't always have to be that way. Sometimes a person can be successful, and he won't. Then God intervenes, and he does the compensation. Then he gives him back what he deserves. That was Bildad's argument. That's the essence of Bildad's argument. He repeated the argument, but he repeated it, and he gave this vivid description of the downfall of the wicked in order to convince Eve that return from his evil philosophy. There's one thing I want to mention also, Agav Orcha, that all along they talk about enunciation, like not to enunciate anything against God. I want you to know, it's not that many people, simple people think that it's the fact that you enunciate, you know, what's the difference if you think so or you enunciate? I mean, what's not the point? Enunciation means, enunciation is the final conclusion of a thought. Means, to think that way means you're further, you're far removed from God. It's not the verbalization. That's the isser. It's the idea that these ideas take a person very far away from God. That's the thing. Enunciation is only the final formulation of an idea. Okay. Now take a look at 19. I think it'll support what we say. Yes. See what he says? How long will you vex my soul and crush me with words? These 10 times have you reproached me. You see?
Yes, true.
You are not ashamed that you deal harshly with me? You see?
My friend.
That's right. Why? Because their last argument was to show him that he's a Russian and he better return.
Defend
him. See? And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me for my reproach. Know now that God has subverted my cause and has compassed me with his net. Okay, go continue.
Behold,
I was a big man in the city. But the only ones that came, only three guys came. Out of the whole lot. Most of them didn't want anything to do with him. These are the best.